Thanks for listening to the Best of Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
This is the Best of the Herd with Colin Cowherd on Fox Sports Radio.
Here we go on a Monday. The world's a good place. Live in Los Angeles, this is the Herd, wherever you may be and however you may be listening. Fox Sports Radio, iHeartRadio, FS1. 1 hour from now, Colin Wright. Colin was wrong. Plenty of both. Urban Meyer next hour as well. Lots of information potentially there. NFL playoff weekend is set. Joy Taylor, how are you?
I don't even know where to start.
I know.
Where do we start? We start with Friday? We start with last night?
Yeah, it was college football. Had a good weekend. A lot of fun stuff.
Well, it was not a financially fruitful weekend for me, but it was a great watch.
Well, let me start with Doug Peterson, coach of the Philadelphia Eagles. Twitter had a meltdown last night. I didn't love what he did. But, you know, there's an old saying with your kids, you can always tell when they're lying because they won't stop talking. Did somebody take the cookie? Yeah, my son would be like 5 years old. He'd give me like a 2-minute answer. No would have sufficed. When you start rambling on about stuff, you'd think as an adult you'd learn how to figure out how to fib. But Doug Peterson last night, when he pulled Jalen Hurts, against the best defensive front, arguably, in football. And Jalen Hurts didn't have a big statistical night, but he was a gamer, had a couple of nice drives, and they pull him for a third-string guy. Here's what Doug Peterson said.
Yes, I was coaching to win. Yes, that was my decision solely. Nate has obviously been here for 4 years. I felt that he deserved an opportunity to get some snaps.
Well, time out. Giving a third string guy some snaps because he earned them and coaching to win is two different things. I mean, if that's coaching to win, then Belichick, in the middle of his dynasty, should have been subbing Tom Brady all the time. You know, give that third string guy some Ryan Mallett, some snaps. If you're coaching to win, you don't pull your best quarterback out of the game. And he's the best available quarterback. Got caught in a little fib. It's like my son stealing the cookie. 2-minute answer. Wrong. He stole the cookie. You can't. Jalen Hurts. First of all, it's a bad night for Doug Peterson. You knew going into this game, points were going to be at a premium. You have a good defense, and so do they. Alex Smith struggled against your defense. Jalen Hurts was a gamer, but kind of struggling. He gets you into field goal position to tie the game. He's a rookie with a handful of starts. Best defensive front in football. Kick the field goal. You know, going into that game, points were a premium. You can't ask Jalen Hurts to finish all his drives in the end zone. He did his job. He got you in scoring position. Kick the damn field goal. The rookie quarterback with 5 starts did as much as you could ask a rookie quarterback to do against Washington and Ron Rivera's defense. He got you in a position to tie the game. And Washington's got better defensive personnel right now than Philadelphia's got offensive personnel this morning. And he got you in scoring position and you butchered it. Second of all, well, we were doing it. We were tanking to get a better draft pick. What? You went from 9th to 6th. You're not drafting a quarterback. If you were doing that to get Trevor Lawrence, I'd get it. Even Justin Fields. You're not going to draft a quarterback. So you're going to go from getting the best corner to getting the best defensive lineman. You need both. That's not an excuse. Forget the integrity of the game, which you whizzed on. But just think about this. Doug Peterson, according to reports this morning, Carson Wentz wants out. So you butchered the Carson Wentz relationship. And this is how you nurture the Jalen Hurts relationship? I'll get back. I'm not going to be a moralist here on the integrity of the NFL. The NFL moves the game to Sunday night. You're the only game. You're billionaire owner. You're the only game that we always overreact to everything that happens on Sunday and Monday. Good or bad, we overreact. You got to know the temperature of the room, Doug. But don't give me this. We were coaching to win, and I went to Nate Sudfeld. Those don't work. They don't converge. If you're coaching to win, you keep Jalen Hurts in. You stole the game from Jalen Hurts. This would have been a signature win going into the offseason. That Jalen Hurts knocked the Washington football team and the best defense in the division and a Super Bowl winning coach out of the playoffs. That is a great offseason. And you're not a great team. Sometimes an average college football team wins a bowl game. But boy, it makes the offseason training and recruiting better when you win that Sun Bowl, you win that Holiday Bowl. It's not beating Bama. It's not beating Clemson or Ohio State. But it's winning a bowl game. And that would have been a great win for Jalen Hurts. A tremendous win over the best defense, best defensive front in the NFC. And so, you know, it's funny. Bill Belichick, week 17, he was playing to win. Anthony Lynn just got fired this morning. Four-game winning streak, end of the year, coaching his ass off. Houston Texans are a mess. Who is their coach? Romeo Crennel. They're playing hair on fire. And you're going to Nate Sudfeld. And by the way, it reeks of arrogance. So I'm reading a story this morning that Carson Wentz and Doug Peterson's relationship is fractured beyond repair. So your owner, Jeffrey Lurie, a top five owner in the NFL, pays Carson Wentz $150 million. Your job is to nurture that thing and develop that kid from North Dakota. And you butchered it. And then, now Jalen Hurts is the next one you're going to have to pay. And last night, you know, you think Jalen Hurts, he gave you a little side eye there on the sidelines. So did his offensive lineman. None of this I thought was good. And I don't want to spend too much time on the integrity of the NFL. And, you know, I mean, it's Indianapolis Colts wanted to get Andrew Luck. I got it. I would get it if they were, like, going to the number one choice. But I thought it was a bad night. I thought it was arrogant. I thought you stole something from Jalen Hurts. You know, these rookie quarterbacks, these Joe Burrows and these Justin Herberts, you know, all these young kids out there, these Tuas, these last couple of games matter. Like, that's what you think about in the offseason. You're going to work out in a cold day. That gets you into the gym a little earlier. Oh, we last game, we played well. I got a couple of W's. And Doug Peterson stole it from him. Okay, here we go. Super wild card weekend. So, a bunch of interesting games. Saturday, Colts at Buffalo. You know I like Buffalo. Rams at Seattle. I have no idea who's winning that game. Tampa at Washington. Could be closer than you think. Baltimore at Tennessee, Chicago at New Orleans, Cleveland at Pittsburgh. Two of these games feel like they could get ugly. The Bears are not going to New Orleans and beating the Saints. That's going to be ugly. And Cleveland at Pittsburgh has the potential to be a tire fire. Pittsburgh's going to roll. First of all, the Steelers played their backups. Their backups against the best Cleveland Browns roster in at least 15 years, maybe 30. And it was close. I mean, Pittsburgh's offense yesterday, as far as I could tell, was a backup quarterback mostly throwing jump balls up the sideline. And it was close. You know, there's three tiers. When you go to a wedding, there's three tiers of guests. There's the bridal party, you know, family bridal party, front table. That's why we're all there. And then the second group of people, they're around there, six or seven tables. That's an extended family. These are close people. You vacation with them. You babysitting kids, and that's it. And then there's the third tier of guests, which is, you know, the obligatory invitees. The playoffs are similar, and the Bears and the Cleveland Browns feel like, you know, the obligatory invitees. You've gone to the wedding, been at the back table. Yeah, I ran into Doug at a golf tournament a couple years ago. I felt like, hey, honey, I had to invite him to the wedding. Yeah, I saw Cheryl actually in Cancun. We bumped into each other and we got along. She bought me a daiquiri. I thought I had to invite her to the wedding. That's the Browns and the Bears. First of all, the Bears had a six-game losing streak. Unless you're the Jags and Jets, that's hard to do. The Bears had a six-game losing streak near the middle of the season. Utter chaos therein. And the Browns had a negative point differential. Again, not easy to do and make the playoffs. I mean, Pittsburgh sat four of their six starters, four of their six best players, backup quarterback, on the road, and they almost won. Two-point conversion could have changed everything. So I kind of feel like this morning, you know, in Cleveland at the end of the year kind of sputtered. They lost to the Jets, could have lost to the Steelers. Yesterday, you know, the Bears were unveiled. Mitch Trubisky, low ceiling, kind of fool's gold. Now, I know a lot of you will say, well, what about Washington? What about Washington? Well, what about Washington? Washington's got an excuse. They had a coach fighting cancer, draft pick quarterback busting. They had a new staff. They had no preseason, and they started 1-5. But since then, they've been 6-4. They have a Super Bowl coach. They have the best defensive front in the NFL. And I wouldn't want to play Washington with Alex Smith. I wouldn't want to play Washington. I'd like to play Chicago, and I'd like to play Cleveland. So I kind of feel like the Bears and the Browns are at those couple back tables at a wedding. And you know how you go to, if you're ever at a wedding and you're one of those back tables, you're sitting around a bunch of people that, like you, are surprised they actually got invited to the wedding. Yeah, I can't believe it. I got it in the mail. I was like, I haven't seen Doug in 4 years. I can't believe they invited me to the wedding. That's the Bears. That's the Browns. Congratulations. Been like, you know, 18 years for Cleveland, but it's this fire will be doused rather quickly.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Start the new year with ButcherBox. 10 pounds of meat, ultimate keto bundle, one pork butt, 2 pounds of ground beef, 3 pounds of bone-in chicken thigh. Sign up, ButcherBox.com/herd, ButcherBox.com/HERD. So Tom Brady threw for 4 touchdowns. He looked great again. Oh, it's just the Atlanta Falcons. Oh, you mean the team that gave the Kansas City Chiefs Patrick Mahomes trouble a couple weeks ago? You know, they blew him out twice. A lot of NFL scouts, a lot of former players, now broadcasters, a lot of anonymous New England coaches. You heard a lot of stuff when Brady left New England. He's washed. He's done. In the last month of the year, he led the NFL, the entire league, including Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes, in passing yards, passing touchdowns, 4-0, and second in passer rating. He finished with 40 touchdowns, 12 picks, 65% completion percentage, and a passer rating above his career average. Arm, still solid to above average. Athletic ability, never had much. Leadership, A+. Pre-snap, outstanding. Tell me dramatically where Tom Brady is not as good as 5 years ago. Now, he's older. Like LeBron James, when you're older, he can't play 39 minutes every night. Tom needs a little more help, needs a little better protection, doesn't want to get hit. But he has predictably aged well. One of the reasons I thought Brady would win the divorce and do well, I predicted New England would stink this year and Brady would be a playoff guy. I thought they'd win 9 or 10. They won 11. His numbers are better than I thought, but I thought they would be very good. Is because he's got the right traits. You ever meet anybody? I'll make a prediction. If you know somebody that's 40 and they eat pretty well, don't do a ton of red meat, not a ton. They exercise regularly. They have compatible personalities. They're not combative. They're compatible. They get along with people. They laugh easily. They like to laugh. They're curious. They have a nice social circle, and they have for years. They have pets. They'll age well. Those are good aging traits. Brady's got great aging traits. So does LeBron, by the way. They eat right. They work out. They're curious. They're coachable. They spend a lot of money on their body. It's not a coincidence that smokers and people who, you know, knock down about 6-7 beers a night, argue on Twitter all day, really political, small social circle, look like crap at 60. Like, Big Ben does not have aging well traits. He doesn't. Work ethic, debatable, diet, regrettable, drama all the time. Like Brady has the kind of traits. This is why Russell Wilson will probably age very well. It's why Brady does. It's why LeBron does. Smart people who are willing to put in the time, who are compatible with other systems and coaches and people and teammates. This is what you look like if you have some talent. Big Ben's closer to what you look like if you're not quite an A at those. You're a B to a B minus at those. So Brady's not washed. He's also not somebody who has relied heavily on his ability to evade the pass rush. All of his football traits, leadership, pre-snap, smart, efficient, accuracy, those all age really, really well. Like the baseball player. the stolen base leader doesn't age as well. You know, as the third baseman who's got a good arm, treats his body right, hits for some power.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
Ah, here we go on a Monday, live in Los Angeles. This is The Herd, wherever you may be and however you may be listening. Fox Sports Radio, iHeartRadio, and FS1. This is not officially a holiday week like last week, so we all need to get our act together now. So Saturday and Sunday, we have a bunch of playoff games. Then Monday, we've got Ohio State, Alabama, which I think is going to be a shootout because I don't think either defense will stop the other. I like Alabama, but I think it's really competitive. And Joy Taylor is joining me. The Buckeyes did me well on Friday. I did think they were the play. I thought Justin Fields, by the way, did himself well. I thought
I was very disappointed in my pick and prediction, but very happy for Justin Fields.
Yeah, I think he's not going to leap Trevor Lawrence. People have to settle down. Trevor Lawrence is going to be number one.
Yeah, I mean...
Come on, let's stop. Yeah. You can lose to LSU and Ohio State. It's okay. But Justin Fields, I thought, secured himself over everybody else. I mean, to play Clemson, to hit on big...
Oh, I mean, and those over-the-top passes...
Were perfect. They were perfect throws.
So impressive.
So I think he secured himself as the number two quarterback, and that's very exciting. Urban Meyer, Trent Dilfer later this hour. Well, we call it calling right, calling wrong. I have strong opinions. Sometimes I whiff, sometimes I don't. Here we go.
Where Colin was right.
Well, I've never done this before. I picked 7 out of 7 AFC playoff teams. I picked the Chiefs, the Bills, the Steelers, the Titans, the Ravens, the Browns, and the Colts. I got them all right. Now, you say, what about Pittsburgh? Yeah, in the summer I banged on him, but you remember we have the tape. September 10th, opening day, I said, I'm going to move them up to 8-8, and they will sneak into the playoffs. Now, they didn't sneak into the playoffs, but nonetheless, I've never done that. Every team right in the conference to make the playoffs. I also got 11 of 14. I had the Packers, Saints, Seahawks, Tampa. I still can't explain the Chicago Bears. I don't get it. I don't get how the Bears were way better than the Vikings. That one I don't get.
Where Colin was wrong.
Thanks, Doug Peterson. The Blazing Five went 2-3, so I finished the year 40 wins, 42 losses, 2 ties. I've never had a losing season. You know, between COVID, no preseason, I had an awful start. The first six weeks, I had a losing record. I think I had a couple of 1-4s. I was a mess. Could never catch up. And again, thanks, Doug Peterson, for tanking. I could have ended up 500 with that, but that's not the way it worked.
Where Colin was right.
I never bought into this nonsense that Tom Brady was a system quarterback because Josh McDaniels left New England, bombed with the Rams, bombed in Denver, and bombed this year. And I'm not blaming Josh McDaniels solely, but if the system's all about New England, why Josh McDaniels, the head of it, everywhere he goes without Brady, the system doesn't work. And Tom does. Tom had 40 touchdown passes this year. New England had 10. It's we're always trying to discredit Brady. Folks, you don't win 6 Super Bowls. Even if you have the best coach, he never had the best weapons. He never had the best running backs. He never had the best receivers. One year he had the best tight ends. He rarely had the best defense. It can't just be Tom Brady and Belichick. At some point, Belichick's now won 44-45% of his games without Brady. Too many people jumping on that he's washed. No, he's old, meaning he needs a little more help, but he's still great.
Where Colin was wrong.
Boy, that Adam Gase thing didn't work out for me. You know when I really figured out I was wrong on Adam Gase? It wasn't that Sam Darnold kept regressing, which he did. It was that Ryan Tannehill left him. And since Ryan Tannehill has started, he's an A to A-minus quarterback. Hell, I'd argue he's an A-plus statistically. Is that Tannehill has totally rejuvenated his career, and Darnold's gotten worse, even though Joe Douglas had a good draft and they were a little better personnel-wise offensively this year. Last couple of years, worst offense. You know, I was always told he was a little, you know, poor man's version of Kyle Shanahan, and he was not.
Where Colin was right...
Well, before Tua's first start, I said, I worry there's no special. Boy, the last couple of 3 weeks, I worry about him. 1 touchdown, 3 picks, doesn't throw over the top. You know, he's accurate, but I always feel like that's kind of a base. If you're not accurate, you have to be so mobile that for the first couple of years in the NFL until you get your accuracy right, Josh Allen or Lamar, you buy some time with your legs. I don't see the special. Now, again, going to Buffalo and beating these Bills who are red hot, good luck. But I'm starting to see what I worried about with Tua.
Where Colin was wrong.
Listen, Andy Dalton's not as good as Dak, but I thought yesterday he was especially bad. He was wildly inaccurate, and Andy Dalton has to be accurate. He can't give you any running. He's not going to give you a big arm. He's got to be accurate. I thought he was awful yesterday. Troy Aikman touched on it. There was easy stuff that he missed on. And 29 of 47, no touchdowns. The other thing is, he's 0-4 in playoff games. There's a Kirk Cousins thing here where he's never been big in primetime, and this was the biggest game for the Cowboys all year. I thought the game plan was bad. I mean, Andy was their leading rusher. But I thought biggest spot of the year, Andy Dalton was really, really off. And I picked the Giants Friday to win, but Andy was a problem.
Where Colin was right?
Said 6 weeks ago, best team in the NFL is Buffalo. It's not Kansas City. Did you see what they did to Miami's defense? Miami's defense is good. Top three in the NFL. Destroyed it. Destroyed it. Offensive lines playing better. Stephon Diggs, 76 catches now. He averaged 76 in his career. He had 127, 1,500 yards. Tops in the NFL. We get so caught up on Kansas City, we're afraid to criticize him. Kansas City was 7-4 through 11 weeks, then caught fire. Kansas City's not playing well now. Everything is working for this team. Defensive, brilliant young head coach, offensive lines offering protection. Josh Allen plays with the confidence of a Super Bowl winning quarterback. They're humming.
Where Colin was wrong.
The Texas Longhorns fired Tom Herman. Now, I just want to throw this out. I know he couldn't beat Oklahoma. I know that matters. I know he struggled with TCU. But he was 32-18 and 4-0 in bowls. You know what Dabo Sweeney was in a weaker conference his first 4 years at Clemson? 36-18 and 2-2 in bowls. He didn't have a good recruiting class this year, but he had three previous good recruiting classes. I get he couldn't beat Oklahoma. Guess what? Ask Florida. It's not easy. It's Oklahoma. And I know the losses to TCU sting. But I was shocked, and I'm happy for Steve Sarkisian. But folks, 32-18, 4-0 in bowls, and 3 of 4 really good recruiting classes. Listen, Sark, you talk about the cupboard isn't bare. Texas will win next year. I thought they pulled the trigger a year early. Like, I get it. If he lost to TCU in Oklahoma next year, okay. But I don't know. It didn't feel like man overboard yet to me.
Where Colin was right.
Never understood the nitpicking with Justin Herbert. Finished with 31 touchdown passes, rookie record. He was a four-point student, big, strong, and mobile at Oregon. I didn't know he'd be this good, but everybody was just, oh, he's mechanical. He got better at Oregon every year. He didn't throw to NFL receivers or have NFL backs at Oregon. He had NFL offensive linemen. I think sometimes they're kids. We just nitpick. It's like, from now on, if a kid is a four-point student, 6'6", strong with a huge arm and is mobile, he's probably going to succeed in the NFL. Like, every trait, every physical trait and mental trait was right in front of us. And Joy and I watched the Rose Bowl. We were like, yeah, that's going to work in the NFL. Everybody, he was a dominant player in the Rose Bowl, dominant player in the Senior Bowl, and everybody nitpicked him.
Where Colin was right.
I've loved Steph Curry since I saw him. I don't understand the lack of respect. He had 62 points last night. Second oldest player to ever score over 60 and the only player of his age to score 62. He's the greatest shooter ever. He's arguably the greatest ball handler ever. He's one of the smartest players that has ever played a professional sport. He's selfless despite being a dominating scorer. He gets along with everybody. He's coachable. And yet when you ask all these NBA stars about the best player, they always throw shade at him. Folks, he changed the sport. High school, college, AAU, and NBA basketball. International basketball looks different because of Steph Curry. Not even LeBron can say that because you can't duplicate a lot of what LeBron does. He's just physically different. But, last night, as good as Dame Lillard is, Dame makes shots, other players wouldn't shoot. He's just insane. But they're 3-0 when he scores over 30, and I think they're 0-3 when he scores under it. So it's not a very good basketball team. Like, he's the only scorer on that basketball team. Good stuff. Trent Dilfer is around the corner. Can't wait for the playoffs this weekend. I told you, I think Cleveland-Pittsburgh, I like the number. I like Pittsburgh's like -4. They've rested starters. It just all worked out for Pittsburgh. Now they get him at home. Ben is rested, veteran head coach. Good spot for Pittsburgh. And I cannot fathom Chicago going to New Orleans. I think the Saints have the best roster in the NFL. Trent Dilfer around the corner.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Go the extra mile in your very own upfitted Mercedes-Benz Sprinter van. You could win in Fox Sports Radio's Ultimate Tailgate Rig Sweepstakes. Eligible until January 24th. I'll have the latest on Urban Meyer. Urban Meyer, I've been told, has been offered the Jacksonville Jaguars job. I've been told there are calls being made to assemble a staff. He has health issues. He's weighing it, family issues. I think it's a great job and a great fit. I'll talk about that later. First, Trent Dilfer, decade and a half in the NFL, a Super Bowl and a Pro Bowl. Fans of his high school football team as well in Nashville, Lipscomb Academy. All right, so you played, I didn't. That's obvious. Here's what I didn't like about Doug Peterson, is that I do believe for a young quarterback, wins matter, off seasons matter, and I thought Jalen Hurts against the great defense had put them in a position to tie the game with a field goal, had put them in a position to win that game, to have a real moment going into the offseason, and I don't like how they took it from him. I don't like that at all. That's what bothered me. How's it land for you?
Well, that bothered me, and a lot of other things bothered me. I mean, I actually got angry when that happened because I put on my kind of football player team hat and remembered the years of sacrifice you make and the brothers that you have in the locker room that are sacrificing so much each week to get ready to play. And then I started thinking about what week 17 feels like to the center, to the defensive tackle, to the linebacker that physically is putting his livelihood on the line each week, that at the end of the year he's beat up, he's tired, he's dealing with 5, 6, 7, 8 nagging injuries, that he's going out there to put on the line for his teammates, and you're robbing him of a chance to win a football game. And I just think the whole thing was really, really ugly. And then I started thinking there's no way that this is Doug's decision, because Doug's a football dude. He's grown up around the game. He was a blue collar backup quarterback. He was all about the team. He was all about the locker room. I think that's what's made him a successful coach early in his coaching career. I really believe that his strings are being pulled by the front office, that was not his decision. There's no way he would make that decision to do that to Jalen Hurts, to do that to the countless guys that at this time of the season, that winning a game matters. It doesn't matter what your record is. Doesn't matter what your draft status is. None of that stuff matters once the ball is kicked off on a Sunday afternoon, a Sunday night in the NFL. You're trying to win a football game. Everything in the NFL is about winning the game that you're playing. It's not about what you're doing in the future when you're in that locker room. It's about winning that game. And you sacrifice a lot to win that game. And I felt really, really bad for those players. And I just can't believe that Doug Peterson would make that decision on his own.
Yeah, that's really interesting. They got a slightly better draft pick.
Nobody cares.
Yeah. Players don't. That's for
nope.
Sure. Yeah, players don't. So I here's my theory on Tua. It's probably wrong, but I threw it out. He had a very strong father. Into a legendary defensive-minded high school coach, into Nick Saban, into Brian Flores. And that's been his tunnel of football. Don't screw it up. We'll get you there. Make these throws. And there are times I watch him and I think he's had that thing in his ear for 15 years of, listen, just get the routes that are, and I watch him and I think he plays safe. And I think he's more athletic than that. But is it possible that the world he's lived in is three defensive-minded coach, a very strong father, and there are times he hears that voice and he plays it safe?
I don't think that's crazy. I don't think that's bad. Tua plays the play the way it's supposed to be played. He is very much like Tom Brady this way, that he's very compliant. He wants to win the football game, and he trusts his coaching staff to put the plays in that they feel are best to win the game. And his job is to execute them. He doesn't go outside the box very often. Aaron Rodgers was very much like that early in his career. You play the play the way the coach designs it to play. You can only play that play. Like, I think it's comical that people are blowing up. Why doesn't he throw the ball down the field more? Are you watching the plays? Are you watching what plays are actually being called? There is nobody running down the field. There are no explosive opportunities. You don't have any playmakers. Pull up the Miami Dolphins roster, search by wide receiver, and you tell me one guy there that's an explosive playmaker. Devontae Parker's falling down on under routes and causing interceptions. So Tua conversation is a huge conversation. I'm more of a believer than I was before the draft. People that are calling him a bust, people that are saying move on, are literally crazy. I mean, give this kid an offseason, a real offseason, OTAs, more talent around him, a training camp. How about that? Some preseason games and an offense that is a little more versatile. And I think you'll see the guy you saw at Alabama. If you don't think he can throw the ball down the field, I got a reel of about 75 to 100 plays at Alabama where he's ripping crossers, ripping posts, ripping hole shots. Third read backside digs against LSU on 3rd and 18. I mean, I can go on and on and on. The kid can do anything you ask him to do. You just got to give him the tools, the offense, and the time to develop into doing it in the NFL.
So, you know, I've said this, is that coachability matters. I think Lamar Jackson is clearly coachable. I do think he has nice touch, although I don't think he's an elite thrower of the football outside the hash marks. That's okay. He's not everything. I mean, Phillip Rivers made a career out of a lot of things he couldn't do, and he made a Hall of Fame to some career. And I look at Baltimore, and you played in that city, and here's why I love Baltimore this year. Nobody's talking about him. It's Buffalo. It's Kansas City. It's Green Bay. Last year, he's the MVP, and you could sense how tight this young kid got. And I look at Baltimore now. I see improvement with him. It's house money. I mean, even in their own division. People like the Steelers. Oh, it's the Brett. They're the third most talked about team in their division. I like this team going forward. Your thoughts?
I don't like. I love, for all the reasons you're saying. And the chip. You know, I was at that game in Baltimore last year when Tennessee came and upset them, and they were shell-shocked. And, they were sowing their oats a little bit going on that thing, too. They're pretty confident. They're pretty cocky. They've been punched in the gut. They've had to pick themselves up. They've had to fight their way in the playoffs, and they've had to reestablish who they are. And I think that's the most important thing that's happened with Baltimore this year is in the last 5-6 weeks, they have clearly defined who they are. They're a run first football team. They have multiple ways of doing it, multiple ways of creating conflict in the defense. Then they'll throw the ball in the middle of the football field, and that's okay. They have multiple ways of doing it with tight ends, with wide receivers going down the middle, with crossers, with backs, but they're going to attack the middle of the football field. They're going to attack you right down the midline of your defense in the run game, in the play action game, and most dangerously when Lamar, because you're so caught up in all the other stuff you have to defend, tucks that sucker and goes for about 40 on you. I love Baltimore right now. I think they're a real physical, hard-nosed defense, and then special teams. In the playoffs, special teams is a huge deal. Nobody talks about it because nobody understands it. That's why you don't hear it talked about on TV very often. But it's a huge deal, and they have one of the all-time great special teams coaches. It's some of the best specialists in the NFL, and they take it more serious than most teams. So I'm very bullish on the Ravens right now.
So Tommy Brady had quite a December. You know, it's funny as I watch him. I said this earlier. I can tell how somebody's going to age based on their traits. Are they curious? Are they compatible with other humans? Do they eat right? Do they work out? Do they sleep? And Big Ben's traits are kind of legendarily average, and Tom's are spectacular. So, but even I mean, it's funny. I look at his arm strength, and I'm like, he always had a B-plus arm. It looks like a B-plus arm. Are you a little taken back by it, or is this kind of what you thought?
It's kind of what I thought. I mean, you can go back, and we were talking about the Bucs earlier in the year, and, you know, they hit a couple bad weeks there, and people are freaking out. I said, just give them time. I mean, give a vet, the greatest leader in the locker room of all time, one of the greatest players who's ever put on cleats, give them time to integrate with these teammates. And then they get Antonio Brown in the mix. It was also going to take time with Tom Brady and Bruce Arians and Byron Leftwich to kind of find common ground. There is a process that goes on in the National Football League, and the ones that handle it well play the best football late in the season into the playoffs. Nothing about this surprises me. Not one single, not one thing. I think they are throwing it for more yards than I thought they would. I thought that it'd be a little more balanced. But this is a really, really dangerous football team. I mean, like the Ravens are in the AFC, the Bucs are in the NFC. They're a team that nobody wants to see. They're super aggressive on defense. Their schemes are a nightmare to prepare for. You're playing against the GOAT. You have all kinds of talented people that he's throwing the ball to. Oh, and by the way, if you sleep on them, they can run the rock, and they're pretty physical up front. So, again, the Bucs and the Ravens are probably the two parallels in both divisions that division winners end up wanting, and none of the conference leaders want to see them in the playoffs.
Finally, you'd have played in a lot of regular season games and some playoff games. Greg Jennings talks about this all the time. It's a whole different thing. You know, it's like playoff hockey does not look like regular season hockey. You can sense it. The hits are more intentional. Give our audience a sense for a minute or two, Trent, just on the playoffs, how some shrink, some elevate.
Yeah, I think there's people that are built for the bigger moments, for one. They don't get anxious. They get enthusiastic about the pressure. The preparation is relentless. And the game in, now please don't take this the wrong way, but in the football context is life or death. Everything matters. And there are certain people that can't handle that pressure. And you see those people fall apart in the playoffs. And there's other people that rise to the occasion. They love that. They love the intensity of that life or death in the football context. Drama. I think the physicality of it's another thing. Your body hurts. You're mentally tired. You're emotionally tired. Your families are tired. Everybody's worn out. Who has the grit? Who can pull it from deep within to find the little bit extra in the weight room? Guys are still lifting in the playoffs. Who's getting after their lifts? Who's eating right? Who's sleeping right? Whose study habits are getting better as the year goes on? It's a lot that you put into this time of the season, and some have it and some don't.
Yeah. Sleep, rest. Sounds like my mom growing up, and I wasn't even a football player at that point. Trent, great seeing you. Have fun in on the lake with your family, and we'll talk soon.
Thanks, brother.
Yeah, it is interesting. Playoff sports is, you know, it's the difference between the Buick Open and the Masters. Nobody has ever talked about anybody, oh, guy caved the Buick Open. Greg Norman caved at the Masters, like one of the great golfers of all time. It's like there is something about playoff football. You've not been there. Like, I don't like rookie coaches. Nothing against Kevin Stefanski. I get Mike Tomlin, you get Kevin Stefanski. I get Ben, you get Baker. Like, I just think that's a really good matchup. Sean Payton, Belichick.
Well, because it comes down to situations. And if you've never been in the situation before, you tend to lean to somebody who has a little more experience in the playoffs.
Yeah.